It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Welcome back to Naomi's Table. We are now into our Bible study segment and hope you can join us by pulling up a chair and opening up your Bible to the book of Habakkuk. We're in chapter 3, verses 10 through 16 today. Connie Stanfill is our teacher. Welcome back, Connie.
Oh, thank you. It's good to be here.
Good to be here, too. And I'm so glad because you are going to be doing something very exciting today. What are we going to learn today?
Well, the prophet Habakkuk is going to be speaking again about God's mighty deeds, but he's also going to be talking about God's salvation and his judgment. And so it's going to be a good lesson to dive into. All right. So here we are in Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 10. And I'm going to read a couple verses, explain, and then we're going to really dive into this salvation piece. Habakkuk 3, verse 10 says, "The mountains saw you and writhed. The raging waters swept on. The deep gave forth its voice. It lifted its hands on high." And again, it's showing God's incredible power over all the elements of nature, and you get the idea of floods. You can even think perhaps of the worldwide flood of Noah. Just, again, God's incredible power in what he does. And then verse 11, we find out about a couple of times in scripture where we hear about God doing miraculous things with the sun and moon. And so verse 11 says, "The sun and the moon stood still in their place. At the light of your arrows they sped, at the flash of your glittering spear." And so it reminds us of a passage in Joshua where Joshua was fighting, and this was after they'd come to the promised land, and he needed more time to mop up against his enemy. And so he prayed, and he asked the Lord to give him more time. And that's what happened. So this is Joshua 10, verse 12 to 13. It says, "At that time, Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord gave the Amorites over to the sons of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, 'Sun, stand still at Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Ajalon.' And the sun stood still and the moon stopped until the nation took vengeance on its enemies. Is this not written in the book of Joshua? The sun stopped in the midst of heaven and did not hurry to set for a whole day." And so God miraculously adjusted the timing of the day and allowed Israel to have the full day, or actually extra time, to have triumph over their enemies. And so again, just it shows God's incredible power. Then verse 12 says, "You marched through the earth in fury. You threshed the nations in anger." And again, the idea of threshing grain is a symbol of God's judgment. And so several times in the Bible, we hear about God threshing Judah sometimes, or Israel, but also definitely threshing their enemies. And so it makes us think of Micah 4, verse 12, where another prophet wrote, "But they do not know the thoughts of the Lord. They do not understand his plan, that he has gathered them as sheaves to the threshing floor." And so again, just that symbol of judgment. And so we're finding out that God's mighty deeds have to do with times when he saves Israel. But usually when God acts in human history, there's an element of saving those who trust him and judgment on those who reject him. And so the next verse, verse 13, says, "You went out for the salvation of your people, for the salvation of your anointed. You crushed the head of the house of the wicked, burying him from thigh to neck." And so again, we're having this thought come through. It's a biblical principle that when God acts in salvation, he also brings judgment to others. And when we think about the salvation of your people, Habakkuk's talking about Israel, God's chosen people. But then when he talks about the salvation of your anointed, it makes us think of those who are anointed as leaders over Israel, specifically the kings. And we think of King David, who was anointed, and he was a beautiful shepherd king over the people, mostly did what pleased God. But ultimately, that anointed is going to be the Messiah, which means anointed, or Christ, as it is in Greek. And so we're talking ultimately about Jesus Christ being the one who's going to bring salvation to the people. And so we're looking to Christ as the one who will ultimately provide that salvation. And so several places in the Old Testament, we have passages that talk about God's bringing punishment on the nations. And there's some in our notes that you can refer to about God striking his enemies. And that makes me think of Psalm 68, 19 to 21, which I'll read to us. It says, "Blessed be the Lord, who daily bears us up. God is our salvation. Our God is a God of salvation. And to God, the Lord, belongs deliverances from death. But God will strike the heads of his enemies, the hairy crown of him who walks in guilty ways. And then there's another passage about Jeremiah 50, where we know that God will use the Babylonians to punish Israel, to Judah, but then ultimately he will also punish the Babylonians. And so definitely Habakkuk is aware of these things. He has Isaiah's prophecy. Jeremiah's prophecy is going to be written soon. But really, it's all pointing forward to the ultimate salvation, which is going to come through Jesus Christ. And so when we look for what that salvation is, it's going to be framed up in Isaiah 53, which Habakkuk was aware of. It had been written at that time. Isaiah 53:6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him," and that's the Lord Jesus, "the iniquity of us all. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of his anguish of soul he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities." And so we're finding out that this anointed one that God is going to crush for our sins, he will die, but he will also rise again. And so even in this passage in Habakkuk, we're finding out God is going to save his people, but God will also accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ as our substitute, and he will raise again on the third day. And so just finishing the rest of that chapter of Isaiah 53, ending up in 10 to 12, the Lord writes, "Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong." That's about Jesus Christ. "Because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors." And so here, even in Habakkuk, we're getting a clear picture of what God is going to do in Jesus Christ to bring salvation to his people. People now, you and I, those who've come to know and understand who he is and follow him. So it's a beautiful picture of, again, how God's salvation and judgment can go together. When we come back then to Habakkuk, chapter 3, verse 14, we find out, well, actually at the end of 13, we find out that he is utterly conquering his enemies. He says he lays them bare from thigh to neck, and that means thoroughly defeated, like gone forever. Also, we'll notice we again have another one of those musical terms I forgot to mention, but if you, in your Bible, as you read through this, you'll see that Selah, which means they think pause or something. And really, to me, it means perhaps this is such weighty, important material that we should think and ponder it a little bit before we move on. But now I'm going to read chapter 3, verse 14 through 16. And again, this is kind of a follow-up or a summarization statement for Habakkuk, because he as a prophet is, I think, in a sense, his mind is just reeling from these prophecies that the God is giving him, this vision of what's going to happen to Judah and then to Babylon, but yet he's holding on to God. And so verse 14, he says, "You pierced him with his own arrows under the heads of his warriors, who came like whirlwind to scatter me, rejoicing as if to devour the poor in secret. You trampled the sea with your horses, the surging of mighty waters." And again, the prophet seems to be summarizing again some of the acts of the Lord to, again, accomplish deliverance and save and help his people. Several times in Psalms, we hear about how the Lord is mighty to save. And so this is vivid words describing that salvation in various places. Again, when we talk about trampling the sea, it makes us think of the Red Sea and the Egyptians being trampled. But then in verse 16, we come to just a very human moment for the prophet. And we're understanding that he saw this vision, and I sense, I get he actually lived the vision, because it is affecting him emotionally, and it makes him, you know, feel a certain way. In verse 16, he says, "I hear, and my body trembles. My lips quiver at the sound. Rottenness enters into my bones. My legs tremble beneath me. Yet I will quietly wait for the day of trouble to come upon people who invade us." And so, to me, it looks like we're really hearing the prophet is interacting with this prophecy, and he knows how devastating and awful it's going to be for his people, for Judah, but he's going to wait for the Lord, and he knows that God's word is sure and that this is not the end of his people.
And I just want to encourage women to understand that the Old Testament really does point to Jesus Christ, as we just heard. We're even hearing that there is this hope that salvation will come. So thank you, Connie. If you're looking for these notes today, "Salvation of Your People and Your Anointed" is the title. You can find those on our Bible study tab at naomistable.com. We will be right back.